Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And join us today from New Orleans is Patty Lee. And Patty is an alum of Texas Western College. And we're going to talk a little bit about what she's doing now. And her husband, Armand, is a musician in New Orleans. And so it's just to show you that our alums are out there doing things. And Patty Lee, we just were introduced to her by Margie Bricky over at Alum. But she sent also, you can't see it on radio, but she sent us a picture of her working at one of the studios upstairs. I'm going, oh, my gosh, that's when radio was radio. Welcome, Patty Lee and Armand.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us on your show today.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, Patty, as far as, you know, when you started going to school here. Were you from El Paso? All that.
Okay. Well, I'm absolutely born and raised in El Paso. I lived in the Upper Valley, went to Coronado High School, and then went right over to Texas Western College at the time. And then it later changed when I was there to the University of Texas at El Paso. I'm an El Paso girl at heart, even though I still now live in New Orleans. But I really had a wonderful life in growing up in El Paso.
It's interesting that you and I were discussing this before the program started, and the fact that when you were a disc jockey here at KVOF, that was the station before KTEP, and you were the only female disc jockey here, but you also said that you didn't like your voice. And I think it's something that a lot of us who are announcers say about ourselves. We don't like our voices unless, you know, you're somebody who really thinks you're it, and they do love their voice. But tell us a little bit about how you got involved in radio and what made you push on forward, because you've done a lot of things since then.
Well, thank you, because I feel like I never have done enough.
Oh, no, but, you're busy.
I started in the radio and television department because I'd gone to college in journalism, and I was in the big long line in the hallway where you're signing up for classes, and the very next table from the journalism table were representatives of the radio and television department. And they said, well, why don't you take a class in radio and television? And I said, okay. So that's how I got started. And then, of course, I loved it, and it was my favorite, absolutely favorite thing that I did on campus the whole time I went to school there at UTEP and at Texas Western in the beginning.
We are visiting with Patty Lee, an alum of Texas Western, also her husband, Armand. And Armand, why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, because you're a musician. Perhaps you can share with us how you got started and how you met a fabulous miner.
I've been in music my whole life. That's an awfully long time now. Grew up here in New Orleans, playing in bands when I was in high school. I ended up taking music in college and learning all about theory and jazz and arranging and performing. I've been performing ever since then, and I met Patty through music. I was in Hollywood to do an album for a lady. She invited Patty to a party where we were celebrating the finishing of the recording session. That's how we met.
Now, because of your talents, and we'll talk a little bit about your radio career, Patty, in just a minute, and how things have changed so much. But recently, tragically, we look back at the 10th anniversary of when Katrina devastated the Gulf, but also it showed the humanity of a lot of people, because a lot of people opened up their doors to some of these people, including El Paso. There were a lot of people who flew in here from New Orleans. But you were able to contribute to help out with that cause. Tell us about that.
Well, we were flooded here. Our house was flooded and the roof was about half blown off. But we had evacuated to Houston. We had Patty's mom with us, who we were caregiving for. She had Alzheimer's and she was bedridden. So we had her, literally had her in a quilt, and slid her into the van, and it took 18 hours to go to Houston, which is usually 6 hours. Several of my cousins put us up for 2 months until we could get back to New Orleans and start rebuilding.
What about radio and how it's changed, Patty? And I want to let our audience know, in case they remember, Peppermint Patty was your air name. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. How did you know that?
Gee, I have ESPN. No.
Yes, I was Peppermint Patty for several reasons. One was I was redheaded, so it sort of went with it. Another one was Peppermint Patty candy was, you know, popular, and
yeah,
it was my favorite. And there was a Peppermint Patty character, I think, running on in the cartoons. So it just sort of became a natural name that was placed on me, and I kept it. So I became Peppermint Patty on the air. I also created, it was during the time of, like, Goldie Hawn was on Laugh-In. And
oh, yeah.
She had this, oh, wow, she would always say. So somehow I ended up creating this series of cartridges that with oh, wows on them, so that it turned out that every DJ on the air would use the cartridges of my oh, wows to sort of, you know, perk up their programs. Peppermint Patty kind of really got around, and then, do you know about the grocery basket race?
There, we have a picture of that in our lobby, and we see that, but a lot of people don't know much about it. Why don't you share it with us?
Oh, okay. Well,
was that the picture with like five or six different views sort of developed together?
No, no, it's just one, I believe.
Oh, maybe I've never seen it. What happened was Mr. Hicks, Virgil Hicks, Professor Virgil Hicks, who was absolutely the nicest, kindest, gentleman, honest. He was the head of the department when I was there. He somehow came up with the idea that we could do a promotion for the radio station, for KVOF. So somehow somebody came with the up with the idea for us to do a grocery basket race. With
not just around the block.
Yeah, from UTEP to
New Mexico
State College in New Mexico, in Las Cruces. It's like about 50 miles, I think. And we were, so I was the one selected because I was the girl and I was the lightest one. So I got to ride in the grocery basket pushed by the running boys that were the DJs. So they had the harder part. All I had to do was sit in the grocery basket and drink Coca-Colas in a glass, you know, those old-fashioned glass. Long glasses. So I thought I had the best of the deal. So the guys would ride on a flatbed truck, and then they would take turns jumping off of the truck and sprinting as fast as they could to push me, and then someone else would spell them, and they would get back on the truck and take some oxygen, and we did that all the way to Las Cruces. And we made it in 2 hours and 59 minutes.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And it was totally with the boy, the DJs running and pushing me in the grocery basket. And we went down the old highway that was, you know, by the railroad track, and, you know, the police stopped the traffic, and it was a really big deal. And we, of course, beat the other school. And so I became the world champion grocery basket rider.
Well, how about that? We're visiting with Patty Lee and her husband, Armand, and we're talking about the Patty is an alum, excuse me, of Texas Western College, and she was in the broadcasting program here. We finally have a broadcasting mystery answered, because now we know a little bit more about that grocery cart, and we're going to have to see if we can make a copy of that and send it to you, Patty.
Oh, I love it.
What about radio and how it's changed over the years? Because, you know, when I talk to my students today about DJs, a lot of them think of someone in a club, you know, spinning the records and scratching, which I'm going, ow, that hurts, you know, because I would always take care of the vinyl very carefully, the green velvet, if you remember, on the turntable.
Yes.
So tell us about how radio has changed over the years and how you've been able to adapt to it, and also working with your husband in the music industry.
That's a long, big question.
Yeah, it is.
And it has tremendously changed. When we were DJs in the late 60s, what was great was it was not really corporately run, and so we were able to choose, the DJ themselves could choose every song that they wanted to play. So we had a choice of what was there at the radio station, you know, at Kelly Hall. But there was a lot to choose from, because I guess it was back in the day when artists or record labels could, you know, stop by the radio station and leave the single. Was it like today where everything's more automated? So the DJ was really kind of like a personality as part of the program. So people tuned in for the music you played, and they also tuned in for the DJ themselves, which I'm sure still happens, but we weren't told what we needed to play. So as a result, there was a lot of fantastic music across the board. I mean, you heard everything from Otis Redding to the Beatles to, you know, To Sir With Love, and then the Strawberry Alarm Clock. I mean, it was a real mix of styles of songs. They all became popular and were popular. So it was different than it is today by far.
Now, speaking of your music talents and your husband's music talents and your working in broadcasting, we talked a little bit about Katrina earlier. You were able to put together a special to commemorate Katrina. Is that correct?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we just finished our 10th annual New Orleans commemorative special event, a multimedia event called Katrina Artistically Revisited that Armand and I produced together. And it's really a grassroots program. When we first started out, it was the very first anniversary of Katrina, August 28th. We always did it on the eve of Katrina for our celebration, or our commemoration, I would say, to honor those who we lost, who perished, and to applaud the survivors. So this anniversary was the 10th anniversary of Katrina, and it was also our 10th anniversary, our annual event. And we're the only ones who, I guess, Armand, that...
Yeah, well, we've done it every year at the theaters at Canal Place here in New Orleans who have supported us in this, so we could actually use a movie theater. And our first year, we were able to exhibit, well, a 15-minute film that we scored here in the first floor of our house, which is gutted out. It was just studs and equipment, and we scored the film here. I had written some songs, and other people had. And so our first effort at Katrina Artistically Revisited was a film and music, but every year it grew. We're adding photography and authors of books, and the bookstores would come and set up their Katrina books. And there are still today new Katrina books being written. So even though it's been 10 years, it's still fresh on people's minds. And this last year, Patty was able to assemble a huge event of over 12 hours. The theater gave us from noon till really past midnight to do a number of things. Patty, what were some of those things?
Well, we had we featured several feature films, which we'd never been able to do before because of the time element, because our program usually was around midnight, and it was kind of like a flash mob or something, because the theater would be completely quiet, the city be quiet, and suddenly all these people would show up for our event. And we had planned it at midnight, or right before midnight, to show how our lives were normal the eve of Katrina, and then change forever the very next day when Katrina happened. So it kind of had a symbolic reason why we did it at midnight. So this was the first year that we actually did noon to midnight with the 12-hour marathon, and we were able to then add full feature-length films, where before we had short for trailers, music, speakers, first responders, things that maybe take 3 to 5 to 10 minutes per event, but this time we were able to run like a whole film. So we ran about
five feature films, plus shorts, plus live songs, plus authors. And we even had the man who was the president of the Crescent Pilots. And I know if you're vaguely familiar with the geography of New Orleans, the mouth of the river is way down below New Orleans, 90 miles downriver, and it's a windy, treacherous river. And these guys successfully pilot the major ships up the river, and he came and spoke about their challenges after Katrina.
Yes, so everyone did who provided their artistic products were respectful responses to Katrina. So we had the Louisiana State Museum had a photo exhibit, and We even had a cooking author with a book called Cooking Up a Storm, and she sold out her books, you know, while she spoke about it. And we showed A Big Charity, which is a feature film that's very popular in New Orleans.
A documentary.
Yeah, documentary about the closing of the oldest hospital in America, which was damaged in Katrina. And Harry Scherer, who's a, he's kind of a well-known, help me, Armand.
Well, he's an actor, a voice artist.
Radio personality, yeah.
Radio personality, that's right. Mm-hmm. All the way from Spinal Tap to The Simpsons to what he does here. And he's very sincere and deeply involved in what really happened to our levees here.
Well, Patty and Armand, we are running out of time here, but
well,
I'm sure
you.
That people would want to look further into your projects. So is there a website or somewhere they can go to find out more about that?
Sure. They can go to www.pattyleerecords.com, which is all one word, P-A-T-T-Y-L-E-E. R-E-C-O-R-T-S.
D-S.
Yeah, PattyLeeRecords.com. And then our Katrina event.
KatrinaArtistically Revisited.com.
Thank you very much. And we hope you have a great day. We thank you for taking the time to be with us and just made UTEP very proud. Thank you.
Well, thank you for putting up with my voice.
All right.
Appreciate it, Louis.
Thank you all.
You're welcome.
Have a nice day.
Thank you. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Eddie Rosales. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.